Well, we're in the phase of the year known as Lent. Lent is the journey to Easter. The idea of Lent is that we set aside 40 days to focus on who Jesus is, what the cross means for us, how it impacts us as believers. And over the last three Sundays, we've been looking at the cross and in different lights, how it impacts us, why Jesus had to go to the cross. And so we're continuing today with the topic love and the cross. Obviously depicting God's tremendous love for us as is expressed in Jesus' sacrifice. There's an outline in the bulletin that might help you as you follow along, that if you've taken notes over the last several Sundays, in the end you'll have a little study that you can do and explore even more some of the truths about the cross. So let's pray as we launch into our morning study. God, thank you for this day. Again, thank you for your word. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart would be pleasing to you. And we ask that your spirit would be our teacher in all these things. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Many times there have been people who have attempted to define God's love. What is it? And there are some examples that people have written out. For example, the same love of God that melted the icy fingers of death now warms my heart. And that's a good attempt. That communicates. Or perhaps this one. Love is the greatest thing that God can give us. For He Himself is love, and it is the greatest thing we can give to God. Well, however we describe it, the goal of God's love is found in our Lord's statement in John chapter 15, verses 10 to 11. We're going to look at several passages this morning that throw a different kind of light on this whole topic of God's love. Well, Jesus is speaking in John 15, and he says in John 15, verse 10, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." And so Jesus is saying, if you love me, you're going to respond by doing the things that I ask. And if you think about that, if you have a love relationship with anybody, it could be with a parent, could be with a spouse, could be with a child, when that person makes a request of you, a reasonable request, you want to do it. For example, this morning, as I mentioned in our prayer time, our daughter Dawn, is running in a half marathon. At 7 o'clock, there were people, actual people, running a full marathon on Whidbey Island. A marathon is 26.6 miles, I believe. That's a long way. You can listen to three or four songs on your stereo in your car driving that long. So that's a long way. So Dawn and a friend of hers, Heidi, have trained and they've worked out, and they're running in a half marathon. So I'm the dad. The alarm goes off. It's 5 in the morning. We get up, get dressed. Diane and Dawn and Heidi and Heidi's 4-month-old baby, Kendrick, get in one car. I'm in the other. By myself, and follow them down to Whidbey Island where the race is going to be. And we get out of the car, and I have my camera, and I take pictures, and Don's older brother, our son Drew, shows up with his family, and he runs and gives Don a big hug. Go! And then they start the race, and 2,700 people. 2,700 people running a half marathon at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, I don't know if you noticed outside, but it's not really warm. A little cloudy, a few drops of rain. Well, that's what they're doing. They're out running in this. Actually, it's perfect weather to run 13.3 miles, whatever it is. But yet I got up, and Heidi made this observation. None of Heidi's family is coming to see her. And yet for Dawn, her mom and I, and then her older brother who's in the area with his family, and he has a 2.5-year-old and a 4-month-old, got them up really early in the morning to come see Auntie run. Heidi says to me, he goes, "You're super dad." I thought, that's right, I am. I'm up 5 a.m. being supportive, because after she took off, I left to come here. And so I had to go back down Whidbey Island, get on the freeway right by my house, and come all the way back up here. Now, why in the world would I do something goofy like that? I love my daughter. I love her. And so I didn't even think anything about driving all that way to watch her get in this crowd of 2,700 people. Oh, I'll take your picture. And watch them take off on this run. What motivated me? I love my daughter. And so when we talk about the love of God, we're talking about a love that goes far beyond any love that we might have. And so when Jesus makes these comments in John 15, he says, "I've told you this so my joy may be in you." I had tremendous joy and tremendous pride as I watched my daughter take off. Now, what you don't know about Dawn is that, you know, everybody in a family doesn't always have the same body type, because, you know, you have different ancestors and you never know what you're going to get. Dawn got the heavier side of the family body type, and so she's always been heavy in her life. Well, 2 years ago, she decided, I don't want to be that way anymore. So she starts working out. She gets a trainer. She loses 40 pounds with a trainer. And once you're with a trainer for a while, you know how to train. So she starts doing it on her own. She disciplines herself. She stops eating junk food. And she loses 85 pounds. And now she's running. This is a second half marathon. And she's going to run a full marathon in June in Austria, which is east of here. I am so proud of her. And Diane is too. I told her brother this morning, as after the race started, we're walking back, and Drew's the athlete of our kids. He's a really good athlete. And I